you to meet my office afterwards, please. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on Roman numeral 8 here, which would be page 7 of your notes. Roman numeral 8. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 is to the believer in Jesus Christ what John 3:16 is to the unbeliever. The difference is that we have to use 1 John and implement that over and over to maintain the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if you had a bad day, and every once in a while we do, our STA gets us by the throat and we don't act right and we regret it. Well, you're here. Get yourself in fellowship. Keep yourself in fellowship. Hear the information. This is the Word of God. This is how you reset yourself, to use the expression everyone's using out there, or a lot of people. You reset yourself. Get yourself in fellowship so that you can appreciate what God has preserved and laid down in His Word that is very clear. It is His plan is not obscure. It is obscure to negative volition. Negative volition, they don't get it. Not because they lack IQ or any other educational background. It's because they're just frustrated. The natural man cannot understand and put together the things of God. Oh, they can read the Bible. They can say the Bible says this. But they can't put it together in a spiritual context and really make a lot of sense of it. I remember as a kid back on the ranch picking up a King James Version and trying to read it. But I was a kid, okay? Well, still, So I needed guidance. I needed human guidance. And later in life, I got it. So let's get ourselves where we need to be and keep ourselves where we need to be. This is God's will for our lives. Very, very few believers really understand rebound and its implications. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together in accordance to your directive will to grow in grace and knowledge and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together and making the intake of Bible doctrine our highest priority as believers. Bless this Bible class to that end in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to put a couple books in the library dealing with the flat earth. When I put books in the library or books in the library, that's not to tell you that everything in them I agree with. Some people go off and speculate on what is beyond the ice wall and go on and on, and some speculate on what the earth was before the tohu wabohu thing. I don't go there. I don't have information from Scripture that I can safely go there. There are just some things that we have to live with. The fact is that they will not allow humans to do responsible exploration beyond the ice wall ought to tell you something. They use, of course, environmentalism and the penguins as an excuse. But man likes to explore and has explored all the places on the habitable earth. Why can't they explore this? There's something there. One of the books has this interview that I saw back in the day. Of course, I didn't understand a thing about it. I didn't catch the problem. With a decorated Navy Admiral back in the 50s, Admiral Byrd. See, this is where this all came down. No historical context. People don't have a historical context. It was after World War I that NASA was set up. Out of it came that. They couldn't have people and explorers going back there, even qualified scientists, and taking down information as to what there is between that ice wall and that dome. They don't want him in there. Byrd, in his interview, was saying that Antarctica is the richest continent in terms of natural resources on the face of the earth. Really? You mean that cap that's on the bottom of the globe? He was a high-level Mason. He set up a lodge down there, 777. Now, I don't trust Masons. I don't care how smart they are. And NASA is loaded to the gills with Masons. The word NASA, I suspect, I can't prove it. The National Aeronautics and Space Agency, NASA. The Hebrew word that in the Bible first came out of the mouth of Eve is the verb to deceive. It's NASA. And then their little logo, they say it's the forked tongue of the serpent. And they say, oh no, this is some obscure airplane and it's its tail. Well, they're not going to tell you it's that. That's how they like symbols and to do all this mess. These people know it is a con job. It blows our mind. Yes, we as individuals on occasion can lie about something because we're afraid. But I mean perpetuating a big lie and keeping it going. Do that to yourself all your life. You're honored and spoken of as one of the original astronauts. And you didn't get up any higher than some of the planes that run around up there. They're fakes. Oh, they have an astronaut school. Yeah. Yeah. This is a part of the whole thing. It blows a person's mind that they would take our tax dollars and keep perpetuating this mess. Oh, I'm sure they invent and do some good stuff around here with regard to machines and various things, obviously. But this big lie, Satan had to get it into the mainstream and get the population of the earth on board with it. It took time. Because those dummies in the ancient world were all flat earthers. No, they weren't dummies. And it was an occultic philosopher, mathematician that first postulated the round earth concept. Pythagoras. Check it out. And he supposedly did an experiment that proved it. But back then, who's going to challenge it? And while the population is spread out and its communications are what they are, people are just sticking with their basic idea. But the Catholic Church adopted it. That cosmology. Because they were enamored by Greek and other type philosophers. They made heroes almost out of them. Christians, supposed, did this. This became known as the Ptolemaic cosmology. You can look it up on Wikipedia. This is a quotation from the Complete Jewish Bible, Genesis 1:6. God said, let there be a dome in the middle of the water. Let it divide the water from the water. God made the dome and divided the water under the dome from the water above the dome. That is how it was. Verse 8, and God called the dome sky. So there was evening and there was morning, a second day, Genesis 1, 6 through 8. These books, by the way, this is called The Firmament Vaulted Dome of the Earth by Zen Garcia. I got another thick volume back there and a lesser one as far as size. For your entertainment, you can read it. This isn't the one that has the picture in it of Buzz Aldridge, or if that's his actual name, Buzz, an astronaut with a high-level Mason receiving this flag thing he supposedly took to the moon. Wow. See, we know they're into it. This is the hidden things. John F. Kennedy spoke out at Ivy League schools. You find the quotes online. They're beautiful speeches. Oh my gosh, the speech itself. There is no place for secrecy and secret oaths. Things are to be transparent. He goes on and on about this thing. But of course, this was just a speech for an institution of higher learning. It probably didn't get on the news with Walter Cronkite. American people ought to hear it. They ought to hear it over and over. They should have back then. Because these people were at work to subjugate nations, bring them into this new world order, program them into thinking how they want them to think. When we get everybody to think the same way, we've achieved our goal. This was a high official in the CIA. Really? That's what we want? Washington, D.C. is all laid out in a Masonic deal. All of it. Where do we get that? Freemasons. Yeah, they're going to free you from the superstitions. Like Scripture. So it's any wonder, these are very highly intelligent, educated people that look real respectable, dressed up in nice clothes. They look good. But they're evil. They had to control everything. They had to hijack the monetary system, the educational system, the medical system, and when I mean educational, I mean top down. So much for free and independent. And all the other things they're doing. Roman numeral 8. The sun is in constant motion over the earth according to these scriptures. If you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, this is where I start getting into all that trouble. I don't mind. I mean, it wasn't fun to have to deal with people that wouldn't give me, the honor of hearing it out and doing their own research and checking things out and praying. But you can lead a horse to water and you know the rest of it. Ecclesiastes 1, 4 through 7. Now this indicates movement. These verses right here indicate moving from one thing to the next. A generation goes and a generation comes. See? We all know that. One generation comes on the scene, dies off, and the next generation plugs in. But the earth remains forever. Well, it remains in two phases. The first earth and the second earth. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets. And hastening to its place, it rises there again. Does that describe the sun that's 93 million miles away? How in the world can that possibly refer to the sun we have been told exists? out there 93 million miles. The whole idea of the solar system is it's supposed to be heliocentric, with the planets running around it, and it's in the center. And it isn't doing the moving. Oh, I know. The whole solar system shooting at some god-awful speed through endless space. But this isn't what this is about. God, who created the sun and set it in its place, certainly knows how to describe it. If you're reading a document, are you paying attention? If you're reading a document, you to be honest, tell what the, whether you agree or don't agree, tell what the author is saying here, the intent of the author. Then the next verse deals with wind. The sun rises and the sun sets. Okay. And hastening to its place, it rises there again. It's on a circuit over the face of the earth. It is in sync with the moon, which is not mentioned here, but it's in sync with the moon, and it's moving over the face of the earth, not just in a circle like this, but in more of an elliptical movement so that we can have our seasons in the different parts of the world. Because of the movement of the sun, the days are getting shorter here. And then it'll reach a point, and then they'll start getting longer. It has to do with the circuit, the movement, and it is clearly movement. Blowing towards the south, then turning toward the north, the wind continues swirling along, and on its circular courses, the wind returns. The main wind currents. They're moving. Okay. And then another one. The rivers flow into the sea. All of them. Eventually, tributaries into a bigger river, and then you have the big Mississippi, and down it goes. The rivers flow to the sea. Movement. The rivers flow to the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow. There they flow again. And we know what that's all about. For one thing, evaporation, rain, and feeding these things. All right. Compare also Psalm 19, verse 6. It, sun's rising, is from one end of the heavens, and the circuit, Tekupa, to the other end of them. Back before the automobile and so forth, they had circuit riders. They had circuit riders. Men on horseback. They covered a certain circuit. Look the word circuit up and see the different applications of it. Sometimes you use the word route, but it's circuit. More along the lines of kind of curved. It's circuit to the other end of them. And there's nothing hidden from its heat. The sun. It's a special, special entity created by God on that fourth day of restoration to take the place of the light for days 1 through 3 that did the same thing basically without a moon, to give light to the earth, light day, night. And that was for this short time. It was shut off and the sun was put up there. And the moon and the stars. That was a really big day. There is very few people out there that give credence to this. Even these Christians, they either ignore it or they are locked into. Now there is a movement afoot. where more and more, I don't know any statistics, fundamentalist churches are coming around to the flat earth. There is that movement. We're not alone. And of course, the one that, and I don't use this in a bad way, and they didn't mean any ill intent, the two individuals, the two deacons that were in my office back in the day, back in, 2018 or so, whatever. And when I use the word cornered, I don't mean anything bad by it. And I don't want to use the word blindsided. Because I brought it up. We got to quit this divisive stuff with the flat earth. I don't know if that's my exact words. And I got hit with Joshua 10, where Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still, to give a longer day than usual. So if the sun just stopped up there, we would have a longer day for however long it stops. And who would stop it? Well, we know who would. God stops it. All through Scripture, God is the Lord of creation. All of it. He's over all, controlling all, for the benefit of humanity and also for wrath on nations. So he controls the natural world. It's not like a lot of people, oh, Mother Nature. Well, maybe the earth is in a feminine form, but it's Father God that rules over her. Then Joshua spoke to Yahweh in that day, in the day the Lord, Yahweh delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. The Amorites were one of the indigenous peoples in the land, and they were significant. They were a significant enemy. They were not some weak organization. They were a major threat, the Amorites. They were powerful, militarily. But it was time to bring them down. And so, the Lord blessed Israel with military victory over the Amorites on that day of this major battle. And when they had them on the ropes, but if night set in, then they'd have to resume the battle the next day. And the Amorites could regroup. There would be more Jewish casualties and so forth and so on. But they had them right where they wanted them. A kind of an ultimate defeat. And so Joshua, the leader, is observing all of this, and he said in the sight of Israel, he had witnesses. That's what that means. He had ample witnesses that he did say this. He addresses the sun, O sun, stand still at Gibeon. That would be right over Gibeon. And moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? That's a Jewish writing. It's not in the Bible. It's not canonical. But that doesn't mean there isn't good information in it. It's called the book of Jasher. Which really, Jasher sounds like what? A person's name. It's not. Jasher is the Hebrew word for one of the terms for adjusted believers in the Bible, Old Testament. They're called the upright. The upright. So it's the book of the upright. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. That's a long time. So the battle raged on, and this is what it's called, the long day of Joshua. If the sun were to stop, our daylight would just go on and on until it started moving again. It's not hard to understand the basic principle of this miracle. This was an unprecedented miracle. Now, of course, Joshua was inspired of God. What led him to do this, I wonder? The impression upon him by the Holy Spirit had to be exceedingly strong to do something that someone might say was that risky, not to make a fool out of himself. So Israel got an example that God controls things like this for the benefit of people. The day continued because they had the enemy on the ropes. And they had to deliver the knockout blow and to neutralize the Amorite threat. As I said, they occupied a powerful city. They were a powerful military opponent. Yes, the Jews had to fight. They had to bleed. They had to do what they had to do. In the name of Yahweh, against their enemies in the land. Now, this is the one that's the killer heart to get your head around. I asked somebody about this. This was before, you know, in second Kings. This is another miracle. This one's even a bigger one than the Joshua one in terms of its dynamic. And I will not do complete justice to it, but I will give you the idea. This type of miracle also occurred in the day of Hezekiah, but with this twist. The sun stopped and went backward. It shifted gears and went into reverse. Stopped and moved back. And then, of course, ultimately it resumed and went forward and continued in its normal course over the earth. 2 Kings 20. Hezekiah was the king at the time. Of the invasion of the Assyrian threat under the monarch Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And after that, now Hezekiah wasn't a perfect believer. When I say perfect, nobody is, but he had his problems. Israel was in reversionism. But they turned to the Lord of Israel, southern Israel, Judah, Jerusalem. They turned to the Lord at the last minute. All the outward cities had been overrun by the Assyrian. And they were getting prepared to siege Jerusalem. And it looked very bleak. But the Jews in the city had a secret weapon. They repented of their sins, confessed their sins, turned to God, and he turned against the Assyrian and turned the Assyrian back after. And they, while they were in the city, they had Sennacherib had a propaganda minister who would tell the Jews, you need to surrender. Your God isn't going to help you now. Look what's happened out here already. And putting that on their heads. And so, with that going on, it'll be a lot easier on you if we don't have to get into this and siege the city and blah blah blah. His propaganda minister. So when the Jews turned to the Lord on the night before, I guess the decision was going to be made whether we're going to start laying siege to this city, cut off all supplies, starve them to death. Then it happened that night. That's in the preceding chapter at verse 35. Then it happened in that night that the angel of Yahweh
That's Yahweh. That's one of his titles. And he's called that with regard to the Exodus. The angel of Yahweh went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. Man, those are big armies. These are foot soldiers. 185,000 men. He struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. See, it's nighttime, so they're all, in their little tents or whatever, getting a good night's rest. And when men rose early in the morning, now not everybody was killed in the army. You had to spare some people. This is a good time to be an officer or a higher ranking than just a ground pounder. It's a good time to have some rank. At least you were going to live longer. Behold, all of them were dead. The next morning, there had to be a clue. When those that didn't die woke up, it was eerie quiet. When men are getting up and clanking things around, it's noisy. Dead silent. And they're running from tent to tent or whatever they live in, and they're dead. Nothing bad has happened to their bodies. You know, they're not messed up. They're just perfectly normal, but they're dead. The angel of the Lord jerked their souls out of their body. This is the first example I know in the Bible of that type of a death, where the Hebrew is the breath of lives, neshama. The neshama, which is given at birth, is withdrawn at death. But here it's withdrawn, and there's no reason, because there's nothing physically wrong with them, and no violence came to their bodies, and they just didn't wake up. They died in their sleep. 185,000 of them. Well, that just cut the legs out from underneath the whole Assyrian deal. This event happened to our Lord, too. The Neshama left him at physical death. He took his out. He didn't die from the rigors of crucifixion. Don't look at me like I'm strange. He says, no man takes my life. I lay it down. My life refers to his human life. I lay it down. That's his deity. It's valuable to know the doctrine of the hypostatic union, or you'll be so screwed up it won't even be funny dealing with the person of Jesus Christ. He told his disciples. It didn't look that way, did it? They had him on a cross. He looks real bad. And normally, left there beyond a certain point, he would have expired. But his deity checked out his humanity. And his deity was also there to raise his humanity from the dead. When the resurrection of the church occurs, a resurrection of people in general, their souls re-inhabit their resurrected bodies. It's plugged back in. When a baby is born, stillborn, they never had a soul. That's what's called stillborn. I mean, I don't know what the procedure today in giving birth to babies are, but one of the first things they want to happen when that baby comes out of the womb is to take its first breath, independent of the mother. Okay? So they want it to breathe. And it's a good sign when they breathe and let out some cry or something. That's a good thing. They got a living soul right there. So this is what happened to the Assyrian infantry. The vaunted Assyrian infantry. They didn't wake up. Perfectly healthy, strong males. They're all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. That's the capital of Assyria, of course. Things didn't go well for him. So he's a pagan, right? So he's probably suspecting that I've offended my God. That would be the natural thing, right? In some way, I've really offended my deity. Because I did, you know, before he'd go off to war, they'd do all the offerings to their deity and all that, and offer incense and carry on all this business. And if they were successful, naturally, they said their deity did it. If they weren't, the implication was that the people you are fighting with who prevail, their deity is greater. Yeah, I remember his name now, the propaganda minister for him, Rabshakeh. He stood out there and made these speeches to demoralize the Jews inside the city, the believers. They went to the Bible and they played that card. And this is with the background that they were under divine discipline. And yet they got the verses say, you turn from your evil, you repent of these things, and I'll turn to you. That quick. You don't have to go through a big routine. And they start praying in the royal city, and they start praying and turning to the Lord and confessing their sins and got themselves back in fellowship and got that mess that they got involved with. No doubt idolatry. That's what the Jews always fell for before the Babylonian exile. It was always idolatry. And yet they have this. But they have the Bible. They have this glorious history of God delivering them from their beginnings all the way through. And yet, okay, so they got the idea, well, let's just see if this still works. Let's see if this still works. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we're going to trust that He is. And they called on His name. See, this is what, I didn't plan to go here today. But here's the thing. With one exception. If believers get themselves involved in big-time sinful activity and cut themselves off from Bible doctrine, and they're out there in that world, and they decide to turn to the Lord and get their act back together again, it's called reversion recovery. And God will forgive them of their sins and get back on track. Yeah, there may be some pain associated with it. I'm not talking about, I feel so bad. That's something else you have to fight off. I'm forgiven by God's grace. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. Yeah, you made a bunch of mistakes, did this, did that. Got into reactor factors. I probably haven't heard that one for a million years. Reactor factors, something bad happened, you react, run under your STA instead of just walk back in Bible class. I can name an example of a believer that the marriage blew up. It didn't last that long. It blew up, blew all to hell. This person went nuts. I'm not going to give any more details. If I told you what the person did, you'd go, but you probably, you're not naive, you wouldn't be surprised. You know, all they had to do is come say, you know, the woman went nuts. I lost her. You guys did all this for us and everything. Let it go. We do it again. You know, we get a second chance or whatever. This doesn't matter. We treat you in grace. We don't look at you like, remember what he did back in the day. Well, if there's people around that do that, then I can't. You wouldn't like Samson. You wouldn't like him one bit. And I'm not excusing what he did. I'm not saying that's a good thing. Because his weakness was the opposite gender. There are genders, by the way. The opposite gender. God, do I live in a crazy world or what? I mean, if they can't even get biology straight anymore, they don't have a snowball's chance on these other topics. And I'm talking at the university level. I'm not talking about some weirdos in some, you know, queer community. I'm talking about people high up are pushing this agenda. That's why we get kicked off of YouTube. Probably. Well, bye-bye. God will get His word out there. We'll get the truth to you. Those people out there, it's up to them to seek the Lord and find the truth with an intellectually honest heart and call on Him and say, I just want the truth. Get me to the truth. If I'm in it, make it clear. But this church isn't cutting it. I had to be pushed to that level as a young preacher boy in a Bible school. I had to be pushed to that point where I was beside myself. I am sick of sermons. I'm sick of the same old routine. And why aren't they teaching me the Bible? I bought all these books because I'm trying to learn the Bible, but I didn't that the system was get under an adjusted pastor that's got his got the three adjustments figured out. He may have some other issues he doesn't understand, but I didn't say that at the time. Just God, boom, He got me where I wanted to go. And I'm not special. I'm not special. I'm another human being with weaknesses like any other human being. But one thing I have through my life is a seeker. It took me a while to get to the gospel even, but God was in control of that. Kept me alive, delivered me from near death, polio death. My parents thought for sure I was going to die. Well, I didn't. And I heard them when they were talking, the medical people, well, he'll never walk. I says, well, I'm going to show you. I wasn't the kind that says, well, I'm going to call the Lord and ask Him to help me. I was just like, I'm going to do it. I am not going to be like this. And so I took my first steps and I got myself going. Somebody at church asked me, how did you deliver milk? I wasn't in this physical condition I am now when I was delivering milk in Houston. In the heat and the humidity and climbing up, people had houses built on mounds. With my bag on my side and a club in it to fight off dogs. Ma'am, would you just keep that dog inside? Well, he's okay. Yeah, right on. Yeah. And delivered milk in Houston and door to door. Had some experiences there. Delivered milk, dairy products, door to door. And my last job, worked on a construction site, laying underground fiber optic cable for the phone company in Houston. That was fun. That was it. And then I came up here, worked out, walked the park, did all this. So no, I haven't been in the shape I am now. But it's good enough. I have Jacob as my example. It came about as Sennacherib was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with a sword. Assassination. The Assyrian monarch is assassinated. And they escaped into the land of Ararat. I guess they wanted the power, so they're going to kill him. But it backfired on them, and they ran off into Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, became king in his place. Succession of the throne. So in a way, even he lost his life in this thing. Do you know that Syria is going to be one of the three greatest nations on earth during the millennium? Assyria. Which the territory now is in the area of, you know, Mesopotamia, we call it, Iraq, names. And so there are still Assyrians on the earth. I told you, I thought this was interesting, that they were the food tasters. For Saddam. Because the people want him dead. So one of the ways they kill people is they poison them. So these Christians would come in and taste the food, see if they're okay. He wasn't. Now, I don't know what kind of Christians they are. I didn't do any research on that. But I thought that's pretty good. And he liked them. And he's not, a believer. He was a moderate. He wasn't some radical. He tried to keep all the crazies in Iraq in order. The Shiites, the Sunnis, and the Kurds. Yeah, he was a strong man. But of course, he got all the bad propaganda over there. And he was involved in 9/11. Likely he wasn't. He had nothing to do with it. He cracked heads of the terrorists. He was a strong man. Sometimes they're useful. You behaved yourself in Iraq, you were okay, and you were left alone. Sure, I suppose he took down some political opponents. They do stuff like that. So Assyria is going to be one of the great nations in the millennium, along with Egypt and, of course, Israel. Egypt's going to have to go through a bunch of hell before this is over. A 40-year exile? I haven't figured to work this one out yet. Kicked out of their land? The Egyptians go into exile? Look it up. And then they're restored, and they are a great nation. And these are not one of those nations are Japhetic, the usual Gentile. We have a Hamitic, Egypt. We have Assyrian, Semitic, and Israeli, Semitic. Not to say these other nations out here won't be phenomenal. They will. But these are the three great ones, and they're all connected landmass-wise, more or less. There's so much. Okay. Hezekiah. Now, he's a good case study. He comes under, apparently, the sin unto death through being sick. Now, not everybody gets sick as under the sin and death. Of course, you're smart enough to know that. Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember now, O Lord, he turns his face to the wall, pray to the Lord. Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight. And he wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Turn around. Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I'll heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I'll add 15 years to your life." So he could just check that off on the calendar, couldn't he? "And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Then Isaiah said, "Take a cake of figs," and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Whoa, I didn't know that would do that. I haven't worked all the details out here, so probably shouldn't be doing it. Now Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" Come on, Hezekiah, you've been told you're going to be healed. Now you want a sign. That's the way some people are. Impatient. I want a sign. Isaiah said, "This will be the sign to you from the Lord." Okay, we'll give you a sign. "That he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? He says it's easy for the shadow to decline 10 steps. No, but let the shadow turn backward 10 steps. Shadow? This is a sundial. A sundial. And they looked at it based on the shadow. They still have them in the world. You can look up on Wikipedia different ones. They even mention this one. It was the sundial of the previous king, his father, that he built. Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow on the stairway back 10 steps by which it had gone down on the stairway that should be sundial, because it's got steps in it, okay? So they translate a series of steps going up to a place as a stairway, but on this are steps, so it's called the stairway. They translate it stairway. It's the sundial of Ahaz. So in this one, this type of miracle, the sun stopped, went backward on the sundial 10 degrees. Stopped, went backwards, and then of course it resumed its normal course. Did the earth stop spinning and then spin backwards and then start spinning counterclockwise? No, I don't think so. That's too crazy. Well, God can do anything. I hear this from these people. Leave me alone, will you? Whether he can do anything or not, it's not the point. The point is he does things that are rational, that make sense, and this makes sense. Okay, we'll pick up Sunday. See you then. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.